Last Sunday, we were in Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and a little bit of a reflection on Mary and her response to the news that she would be giving birth to a Savior, Christ the Lord. And this morning, we're going to continue in the Christmas story, but this morning it's going to be a little bit more of a different focus on the Magi. And this takes us into Matthew chapter 2, and we started with the Magi at the beginning of the service, and we're going to start off with the quote from the Old Testament from the prophet Micah, as the Magi were inquiring as to where is this one, this king. We've seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. And so continuing with, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. And so, just thinking about this scene of the Magi, and just thought, you know what, what are some takeaways? Just a few takeaways from this Christmas scene, particularly the Magi. And want to bring in Mary briefly too, because one of the realities that we saw in Mary last week was that she had joy. Remember, my soul glorifies the Lord, honor, revere, magnifies the name of God. The Magnificat, that song, that's the magnification, the glorification of the Lord, in that she, in spite of her circumstances, recognized what God has done, what God was doing, and so in that she experienced joy. Her spirit was rejoicing in God, her Savior. Well, one of the takeaways from this scene here with the Magi is similar to Mary. They were experiencing joy. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And so both Mary and the Magi had joy. One of the takeaways from the scene of the Magi, joy is the central reality and the anticipation of them. For Mary, it was a Savior. For the Magi, they were reflecting on Jesus, this King, the King of the Jews. And in that Micah passage, this ruler, this shepherd, and so we're overjoyed. Joy is the central reality in our encounter, in our experience with Jesus. Is that for us? Do we experience joy in this season? Mary had joy. The Magi had joy. Why did they have joy? For Mary, what came after her proclamation? What came after was that she identified her state of humility. For you have seen the humble state of your servant. Mary had a mindfulness of her humility. The Magi had a similar sense of self. What did they do when they came upon the king child? They bowed down. They worshiped. Why did they have joy? Because in them, posture of humility, and so it's in that posture of humility that we find joy in a Savior, right? We find joy in a shepherd to lead us. The contrast is Herod. Did Herod have joy? No, Herod, on the other hand, did not have joy, right? Verse 3 says, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. Why? Threat. King. Our joy diminishes as we reflect on King Jesus when we feel there could be a threat to our kingship, to our control, to our lordship in our life. And so in this season, there's that conviction, maybe. There's that calling to release, to let go. We want joy, don't we? Yeah. Those are the deeper realities. Christmas, we think about what we want. I want on my list. But really what we want deep down is, and so there's that call, there's that invitation to repent, to turn from our kingship, our self-leadership, our self-lordship, our ascent to our throne, and to humble ourselves, to submit to the King and his ways and his direction and his word. There's the joy. And so when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Takeaway one. All right, takeaway two. What's the next takeaway from this scene of the Magi pursuing King Jesus? Second takeaway is, God's ways are beyond our ways, aren't they? God's ways are beyond our ways. And yet, they're also bound to his word. His ways are grounded in his character, in his word. So God's ways are beyond our ways, and yet point to his word. How does the story of the Magi begin? We've seen his star, right? We've seen his star. How does it end? It ends with God appeared to them in a dream and led them a different way so they wouldn't encounter Herod. This scene begins and ends with stars and dreams. Who follows the stars? Who follows their dreams? There's some skepticism about that, right? Stargazers, horoscopes. Do we recommend those things to people? Not necessarily, right? There's the reality in the scene of the Magi is God speaks to the Magi in ways that are kind of beyond our ways, right? They're outside of our norms. Most of us don't look to the stars to direct our paths. Most of us don't wake up, you just go ahead and follow that dream. Stars and dreams, I think, remind us God's scope and God's beyond our ways. If God is the true God, if God is the creator of the stars, then God is sovereign. God can use his creation to guide and direct the heavens. Psalm 19, declare the glory of God. His ways are beyond our ways. Isaiah 55 says that very thing, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 5 says, as you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things, God's implementation of stars and dreams. I'm not in control. God is. God is beyond my thoughts. God is beyond my ways. And yet, God works through stars and dreams to accomplish his purposes. And that's the next piece of that, to accomplish his purposes. The stars and the dreams at the same time were communicating a particular thing. They were leading in a particular place. They were grounded in a particular reality. The wisdom of Herod came through here. Despite being disturbed, despite being threatened by another king, he had a little moment of wisdom here. Who did he call? He called the teachers. The teachers of the law, the ones who knew the word of God. They went to the word. They interpreted the stars through the word. God's ways are beyond our ways. God works through ways beyond our ways, and yet they're bound by no means the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people. Numbers 24, 17 says, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. And so the prophets, Moses spoke of a star and a scepter. And here is that prophetic word grounded in God's word that interprets and declares the word. The word points to the word, Jesus. So let's take away two from the scene of the Magi. God's ways are beyond our ways and yet bound to his character, bound to his word, point to the word, Jesus Christ. And thirdly, third takeaway from this scene of the Magi, what did they do? Worshipped. That's their declaration to Herod, They were on their way to worship. When they came to the place where Jesus was, where the star led them, they bowed down and worshiped. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of frankincense, and myrrh. What is our motivation? Our motivations, in all honesty, frequently revolve more, you know, around getting, right? Isn't that get? What am I going? That's kind of what our lives are preoccupied by, is success, more. We have those earthly needs, right? And so there's a motivation in our lives to get. We will move and go great distances. Magi from the east, moving and going a great distance. Our aspirations in the traveling of great distances are frequently defined by the need to make a living. Let's get to get, right? Gold rush, treasure. The Magi put a different lens on things for us. The Magi traveled great distances not to see what they could get from this king. They were simply acknowledging the nature, the reality of this cosmic shepherd, this cosmic ruler. And in the reflection of the nature of that person, God revealed in flesh, their central motion was to give. They weren't seeking to get treasure. They acknowledged Jesus was the treasure, and what it did is it opened up their lives to submit, to give their lives, to sacrifice what they had. The most precious of things. Gold is pretty precious, isn't it? Frankincense, like the doTERRA oils. I did that for a while, and sure enough, you can get frankincense. A little bottle like this is like $90. Stuff is valuable. It's like, is this gold? No, it's frankincense. Gold, frankincense, myrrh, valuable stuff. What do we bring? That time of year where we start to think about, some of us do, not all of us do, some of us start to think about maybe what I want to do in the new year. What do we want to do in the new year as we encounter the treasure, our shepherd, the king of the universe? What do we want to do in relationship with the king? The Magi give us the example of giving the best they have. And you know, when we do that is when we have the most acute awareness of what we've received. That's when we have the most, when we have the sharpest awareness of the gifts that have been given us. God came in flesh to give us his life, the life of God. Jesus is the eternal life. How will we respond? First, are we aware? Are we aware? And how will we respond? May we be compelled, like the Magi, to give the best, give our all, they bowed down, worshiped him, gave him their gold, their frankincense, and myrrh. May that be our gift to the King as we acknowledge him as King, as we receive him as our treasure. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you in this season for coming to earth. God in flesh. It's a beyond the beyonds. God, equality. To think of, you came to give us yourself, to receive God. May you speak to us through your word, maybe through a dream that points to you, is grounded in you. May we be listeners to you. May we be readers and reflectors of your word to us. And may we become ever more deeply aware of your glory, of your grace, of your goodness, of your gifts, so that our hearts are just an overflow like the Magi of offering. Of offering of ourselves to you. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. You are invited to come and pray with our prayer warriors. If you need prayer in your life moving forward, you are very much welcome to do that. We have eager servants here. So, and now as we go in his blessing. Lord, bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.